KFUO weather. This afternoon, sunny with a high near 87. Tonight, clear with around 60 low. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 87. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 61. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. But Thursday night, though it's a low around 63, there's a 30% also chance of showers.
Did you know that you can now read your Lutheran Witness on your iPad or other mobile device? Well, you can, thanks to Concordia Publishing House. We'll hear about that tomorrow. And how can American Christian women reach out to Muslim women? Cynthia Kahn will answer that one. And St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. But how? That's Wednesday morning, here on His Time.
Weekday mornings beginning at 7 a.m. on KFUO.
It's a special on Gospel on this Tuesday, September the 11th, in the year of our Lord 2012. Of course, 11 years after that disastrous attack, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that, but today's also a special day. We've had so many of you that appreciate the Thursday ruminations that we thought we would also go ahead and do another ruminations on Tuesday, and with us is our good friend. Hi, Wes.
Hi. How you doing, Tom?
Very good, Wes. Mark's got a big smile on his face. Why, Mark?
Because I wasn't expecting Wes's voice.
Yes.
Hi, Wes. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I knew you were there. I was looking forward to listening to that wonderful voice of yours.
Well, you know, Tom Baker never tells me anything. He doesn't inform me here. I come in guessing.
How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine. Just got back from our Lincoln Circuit meeting today.
That's a meeting with other pastors where you really meet for the purpose of going out to eat lunch.
Among other things, but we do our exegetical study.
Exegetical, that's a big word. You mean the Bible interprets the Bible type of study?
Right, the Bible interprets the Bible. We pull out our Greek and take a look at that. We took a look at Sunday's gospel lesson that's coming up from Mark chapter 9.
Yes.
And then we decided on our second topic, which will be out of the confessions. We're going to be discussing for the next 3 or 4 months the topic of justification and how it relates, especially in our lives today and in the life of the church.
Excellent. And Mark, where'd you come from? Lunch?
Yes, lunch. Hey, Wes. You were looking at Mark 9.
Right.
Was any comment made, you know, as you talk about that passage, you know, Jesus is, he's asking about this son who's possessed by this demon.
Right.
And he asks all these questions, how long has he been suffering, that sort of thing. Did the issue come up, I mean, did Jesus not know the background of this son? Did you talk about that issue at all in your study?
No, that really wasn't a topic of discussion. It was more like talking about the whole aspect of their faith and the lack of faith of the crowd and what was going on there. And it was, I listened from the particular, because I listened to Tom yesterday, and he brought up about, you know, self-reliant faith, and then also faith that clings to the promises of God. And, boy, that's where they were really zeroing in on, but none of them had listened to Tom. And I go, this is interesting. They did a synopsis of what Tom was talking about yesterday.
Yeah, so, let's see what Mark's opinion is. Do you think Jesus was just saying that in order to make the people aware what a great miracle this was, or was he ignorant of those things?
Well, I'm just trying to think, the disciples, when they went, I think they went inside and they asked Jesus, how come we weren't able to cast this demon out? And he says, this type takes a great deal of prayer.
And fasting.
It can only be dealt with prayer. And does he mention fasting too?
Yeah. And maybe that's how he discovered that, when he asked the questions. By asking those questions, it gave him an indication that that's the kind that takes much prayer and fasting.
Was this a particular strong demon that was possessing? It's kind of interesting that, you know, the disciples were able to cast out demons when they sent them out two by two before this, but they said, we can't cast this one out.
Yes.
What was different about this particular demon?
Yeah, but see, we discussed that too, and we said, was it because their faith had waned to a certain degree? Because in between all of that is also the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus says, here, you feed them. And they look to themselves for the 200 denarii to go feed them.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I walked away with the feeding of the 5,000 is, you know, there's Jesus who gave them the power to cast out demons. There's Jesus who changed water into wine. There's Jesus who's healed the sick and that. And they didn't look to him. So, you know, you got that whole interchange going on as well. So we were wondering, you know, could it also be the fact that their faith, you know, they were looking elsewhere again.
To themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think that distinction we made yesterday, when Jesus says, if you have faith, nothing's impossible.
Possible,
what
yeah.
he's referring to, he sent them out to heal, and they thought they had to have their own faith, or they were relying on themselves instead of on Jesus, and they didn't have faith in his promise. So that law, in my opinion, went also against the disciples as well as the people.
Exactly.
Well, let's get on to the topic for today, though. This is our first Rumination Tuesday. Tomorrow is what I call Insight Wednesday. We're going to be looking at the Heidelberg Disputation in preparation for me going to Hope High Ridge tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, where we'll have a lengthier discussion on it. And then on Thursday, we'll be back with Ruminations again and an open mic Friday. But this being 9/11 anniversary, I am involved with, I don't get into chat rooms at all on the computer. This is the only one I've gotten involved with because it appears nobody on there is Lutheran. So here's the question that was asked. I've answered it. I'll leave my answer for a bit. But do Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship the same God? I have 20 pages of answers here from people, and the reason I'm doing this is I'm going to pretend that I'm one of the listeners, and as we read these, you then reply, the two of you, as to how you would answer that. But let's start off with the first comment. Seeing as how Muhammad was visited by the Archangel Gabriel of the Judeo-Christian belief, it appears all three major religions worship the same deity. As such, why is there so much strife between these religious groups? So let's start with the first item. Why don't we start with Wes? The angel Gabriel met Muhammad, according to Muhammad. And, of course, he's the angel also talked about in Judeo-Christian belief. So why doesn't that mean they're all worshiping the same deity?
Good question. No, you know, in Corinthians, Paul talks about that even Satan can appear as an angel of light. How do we even know, you know, that the Gabriel did appear to Allah? That becomes a critical question because, in particular, we talk about as Christians that we go with the sheer word of God. And we've got that sheer word that talks to us about where revelation comes from the scriptures. That's a whole other point. But the point I wanted to really make when you talk about that, there was a research study out there that pointed to the fact that 90% of all Americans believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
But that drops down to about a 27% factor when they believe that Jesus Christ is fully God and the one who has come and died upon the cross for forgiveness of sins. If you take God after that, in terms of that. Allah, even from that point of view, is how does one get to heaven, and how does one reveal themselves, you know, as the true God? In Muslim faith, it reverts back to something that mankind does, and not what God has done.
Okay, Mark.
Well, it is interesting that they mention Gabriel, but that's no proof that Gabriel really appeared to him, nor that they believe in the same God. You can only go by what Scripture says here, and what the Muslim teach does not match up with God's word.
You know, maybe I'm ignorant of this. I didn't think Jews knew about Gabriel. Is Gabriel mentioned in the Old Testament, either one of you?
Not to my knowledge, no, just in the New Testament.
No, he appears to Zechariah.
Right.
And Mary.
And Mary,
Mary, and that's
yes.
Still New Testament, yeah.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out where... Is he in the Apocrypha? I can't remember. I just don't know.
That I don't either.
Yeah. Okay, now... Another argument is they both come from the same forefather, all three of them, and his name is Abraham.
Right.
Now, we follow Isaac, as do the Jews. Who do the Muslims follow?
Ishmael.
Right. Also, a son of Abraham.
Right.
Through Hagar.
Through Hagar, the servant girl.
Okay, so now we've got another similarity. If they're worshiping the God of Abraham, pretend somebody asks you, and you're a layperson, how do you respond from a Christian point of view that just because Abraham is their father doesn't mean that they're worshiping the same God? That seems like a harder argument.
I'll let Mark go first. I'm looking up the passage right now.
Okay, Mark?
Well, like Paul says in the New Testament, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. You know, just because they're Israel according to the flesh does not mean that they're part of the true Israel, namely the church.
That's a really good argument. In fact, it's found in Romans, and in one verse you have the word Israel twice. But they have totally different meanings. And I'm looking at Romans 9, verse 6. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel.
Of Israel, yes.
So what is the first Israel referred to?
The first Israel is the church.
Okay, and the second Israel is?
Israel according to the flesh, the descendants of Abraham, or descendants of Israel or Jacob.
Yes. In fact, verse 8 actually explains it. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as a seed. What does that mean?
Those that believe in the promise of the Savior Jesus.
Very good. So if you...
Yeah. You go to Genesis
Christians.
15, verse 6.
Pardon, Wes?
You go to Genesis chapter 15.
Right.
And he believed, that being Abram, in God, in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. You know, we are children and sons and daughters of Abraham through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul brings that out again in Galatians. That would be the other place we would look.
All right. So we've answered Gabriel, we've answered Abraham. Just because you're of the flesh of Abraham doesn't mean you're saved. You need to be of the promise, and Wes brought out that promise. There's a third person all three of them look to.
The Holy Spirit?
No, Jesus.
Well, of course.
That's what you do with Jesus.
That's exactly right. How do the Jews look to him, those who believe that he actually existed?
Maybe a great man, maybe even
yes.
One that was not fairly treated, but certainly not the Messiah, not the Savior.
Well said.
Yeah. Yes.
In fact, Dr. James Veltz just sent me a very interesting paper he had done. He was at a seminar with other religions, and they asked the Jewish rabbi why he didn't believe in Jesus. And you know what his answer was? His answer was, because Jesus didn't fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. Now, we got to think about that. Then he went on to explain it. What was he saying?
I can't imagine, because many of the prophecies that I think of were fulfilled in him.
Well,
I can't think of anything that were not.
I can think of about 50.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Start.
Okay.
That were not fulfilled by Jesus?
Right. A land flowing with milk and honey.
Okay.
No wars. No poor. Righteous people. You see...
And those are the prophecies that he was talking about?
Yes.
I see.
Oh, my.
Isn't that interesting? He went and he looked at all the prophecies that we believe will be fulfilled after Judgment Day
right.
in heaven.
Yeah.
Right.
And he said, none of those were fulfilled by Jesus. That's why I don't believe he was the Messiah.
Well, because of Jesus, we will see the fulfillment of those prophecies too.
But he's saying he didn't fulfill them.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really interesting argument there. But the answer, of course, the Christian answer, Jesus himself says, you will see the Son of Man coming, you know, with his angels to judge. And then he talks about heaven. So what we believe, teach, and confess is that some of the main prophecies were fulfilled, that our sins are forgiven. Like Jeremiah says, your sins will be forgiven. God will no longer remember your sins. He will forgive your iniquities. That has been fulfilled in the waters of baptism. But the other new creation hasn't yet come about. And he picked out all of those, like in Isaiah. Well, what is it? The lion.
Lion shall lie down with the lamb.
Yeah, things like that. He said, well, none of that's happening. You know, and it was very interesting
to hear. Eden restored.
Yes.
Because of Christ.
Yes, but it hasn't happened.
New heavens and new earth.
Yeah. In a sense, it hasn't happened, although I'm going to be pushing. Oh, okay, here's a question for both of you. Have. We entered into the promised land yet?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Well?
We have a foretaste of that promised land in the church, especially in the
sacrament.
A
foretaste means that it's still not here.
No, not completely. Not until he comes again, but
I think we have entered into the promised land, which is the Holy Christian Church on earth, the kingdom of God on earth.
Right.
Getting back to the question today about Allah and such, permit me to read the answer I gave to this group. And by the way, they've had 20 pages of answers, and my answer is on page 3. So I was real early in the argument, and I only spoke once, and a lot of them are responding to me. Here's my answer, and you guys analyze it. To understand whether Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship the same God, all one has to do is figure out how each, quote, God describes oneself. Because I come from a Martin Luther Reformation point of view, there really are only two religions in the world, Christianity and everything else. Another way of putting this is that Christianity is the only religion that reveals the gospel, while every other religion in the world is law-oriented. What does that mean? To be law-oriented means that the religion teaches that your works make a difference as to whether or not you are saved. From the point of view of the 16th century Reformation, only the Christian faith reveals that nothing you do, say, or think can appease the true God. Because of the fallen nature of man, he has no free will in regard to making the decision to believe in the true God. Therefore, salvation is because God graciously saves through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is not by works of any kind on our part, because salvation is a free gift. The Bible provides no answer as to why some people are saved and others are not. God, of course, knows the answer, but he has chosen not to reveal it in his holy book, the Bible. What makes the true Christian faith absolutely unique is that God does all the work of our salvation by forgiving our sins, dressing us in the robe of Christ's righteousness, and saving us, even though we have done nothing to deserve it. So that was my particular point. I wasn't looking at the attributes of God. I was looking at the work of God. And when you look at the work of God, then Allah and the God of the Jews are not the same.
Right. Well, you know, in the Muslim form, he was nothing more than a great prophet. But the greatest was Allah, and that's what you listen to. So they don't even take the sacrifice of Christ's death and resurrection, you know, as you pointed out. You took it right to the very heart.
Yeah, another thing, and Mark and I were talking about this. Wes, we could say that the God of the Christians is the God of the Jews.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. But the line of demarcation comes with whether they take Christ or not.
Well, for example, weren't the apostles Jews?
Oh, of course they were. The early Christian church was primarily a Jewish church to begin with, which, you know, as we know, spread as we read Acts into the Gentile world.
Well, even before, I believe, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary, they were Jewish, and they believed in the true God. Simeon,
Anna. Oh, especially if you read John 11, where Mary, or Martha makes that I know that my Redeemer lives, or you know, not my Redeemer, I know that I will one day see, you know, the resurrection.
That's probably because of Jesus' teaching to her. She wouldn't have known
right. That
up to that point. But the fact is, you have to distinguish between what Jews you're talking about. Whereas you don't do that with the Muslims. All Muslims believe in Allah.
You want to talk about resurrection and who knew about it, you got to go back to Job already. Job believed in the resurrection.
Yes, he did.
Not?
Right, but the details Mary or Martha were giving aren't found in the Old Testament.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
But getting to the main point here, Jews... It depends if they're believers.
What you're saying is
they have the same God.
There are some believing Jews that do believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. Whereas Muslims, there are no Muslims that we know of that do believe.
Well, none of the Old Testament believers knew Jesus was the Messiah. They hadn't even heard about him.
Well, they did promise, and they did believe in the promise of a Messiah.
The promise,
they looked ahead to the promise, even though they didn't know all the details of who it was.
Exactly. And so I don't think we can make that distinction with Muslims. There aren't a group of Muslims that properly believe in Jesus, are there?
No.
No.
But there are a group of Jews that properly believe
in
Jesus. Jews for Jesus, for
example.
Right.
I found that nobody makes that distinction in this talk chat room called Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, and it's just for religious discussions, between some Jews and other Jews. They lump them all the same as though all of them are part of Judaism, which is a different religion. So if you're... Well, what would be your bottom line here, Wes, if somebody was saying, is Allah... Because Gabriel, Abraham, and Jesus are in the Quran, why do we still say they're not the same God? What would be your answer?
I would go, you know, in the Rush Limbaugh style of what you just read to us, megadidos, you know, because it is Christ. Is what do you do with Christ? And is he the Savior, the crucified and resurrected Lord who came and saved the world, and breaking religion down into those two factors of, you know, what God has done for us versus what man tries to do in order to get to heaven.
And Mark?
Yeah, if you reject Christ, you reject the true God. If you reject the Holy Spirit, or for that matter, God the Father, you reject God.
Well, we have to say more than that, don't we? Because Muslims will say we don't reject Jesus. We believe in Jesus.
They don't accept him as their Savior. They don't believe in him as their Savior.
That's a good point. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, there's something that I hadn't realized until I did some interviews with Muslim scholars, that they have no assurance of salvation, a Muslim.
No, they book it every year.
They what?
They call what I call book it. They hope that they do enough good works that, like, they do 51-52% good works for a year, and that counts for something when they go to heaven.
So that the whole concept of not being assured, where does our assurance come from that we're saved?
Baptism, Lord's Supper, that we're in Christ.
That's right. That's well said, yes. Baptism, because God, when he has us baptized, he attaches a promise to the waters of baptism, and with the Lord's Supper, you receive the very benefits that Christ died for. Whereas in the Muslim faith, there is no such assurance. Occasionally, you'll read that if you die while you're killing an infidel, and that's why some flew planes at that time. Although kind of interesting, as I was driving in, I was listening to a debate about a woman who says, no, there were no Muslims involved at all. This was only part of the American government.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting, her arguments that didn't hold sway at all. But on this 9/11, I would hope that while we recognize the difference between Christianity and the Islamic faith, we still recognize that God loves Muslims and that we should reach out to them. And we have a group in the Missouri Synod, POBLO it's called, P-O-B-L-O, primarily out of Michigan right now, but I get their newsletter. And are you doing much with Muslims in either one of your areas, Wes?
No, we did discuss it in Bible class again. But you are correct. I mean, it is to get that good news that Jesus died for all.
And Mark?
All.
The Bosnians are quite prevalent in South County.
And, oh, that's right.
And yes, we try to help them.
Excellent. Okay. By the way, Wes, am I coming out your way at the end of this month?
Oh, yeah. September 29th and 30th up at St. Paul's Havana there at the corner of Pearl and Market.
And that's on Friday at 5 o'clock, Bible study and service. Well, thanks, gentlemen.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. God bless.
The Law and Bye. Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.